Amen. What a wonderful joy to be here this evening, and it's good to see many of you. Many of you I do know, so that's a blessing, and some of you I don't know, so that's also a blessing. So hopefully can get to know you very, very soon. And thank you very much for your investment, really, in missions, primarily your investment in me. All right? You have a lot of missionaries or mission workers or different types of mission projects that you have, that you work with, that you support, that you pray for. But I'm one that's walking in here this evening, and I am right before you. And I can say that you've been very, very faithful in your prayers. You've been very, very faithful, many of you, in communication. And with that, I also pray for you, all right? So I appreciate all that you've done. Your support and really the encouragement that you've given to me in Papua New Guinea and my wife for many, many years. Now, if you think we look like we're worn out, we are, all right? In fact, I just got off a plane and fought Brisbane traffic. And finally got here. So it is a blessing to be here, yes. But thank you for all that you do for the cause of Christ in missions. And again, especially what you do for me and for my wife. It is a tremendous, tremendous blessing. All right? So I just want you to know that. And I appreciate very much your prayers for what we are doing. And, you know, we reciprocate those. I pray for you too. I get a message every single day from Australia. Doesn't come from one of you, but it comes from Robert Timms, all right? He sends me a message, and it's like, you know, wake up and smell the coffee, something like that. He sends it to me every single morning of my life. And, no, I'm just teasing, you know. But I don't tease about this one, though. I do drink it every single day, all right? And so it's been a blessing to me, and many of you have been a blessing for so many years. So thank you very much. And all I want to do is just let you know what's happening, and then I just want to give you a few thoughts to encourage you this evening. And again, we have worked very hard just to leave Papua New Guinea to go on a very, very short trip. It's like a furlough, but it's like a mini furlough. And it's only about 2.5 months long. And my wife and I are going to be in about 40 different churches in the state of Ohio. It's in the United States of America. That's the state that I am originally from. Also, the state of Michigan, which is where our home church is, Park Memorial Baptist Church, and also Ontario, Canada is right there as well in that Great Lakes region. So we're going to be spending our time in those three areas, being in about 40 different churches. Most of them support us already. And I haven't seen some of these churches. You know, the last furlough I took was, I think, about 150 years ago. I think that's about what it was. It just seems that way. And I haven't seen some of these churches in a long time. And I need to get back there to encourage them. I need to get back there with my wife, who has not been to most of these churches, and try to let them know that their faithfulness to God, God sees it. And their giving, their sacrificial giving, God knows about that. And their prayers for the work of Christ in Papua New Guinea, it is not in void and for naught. It has produced much fruit. And so my wife and I are going to go from church to church, about 40 of them, in about 2.5 months. And then after that, we're getting on a plane and coming back to this side of the world. That's the right side of the world, by the way. And praying that God would bless all that we do. Now, as we go home, I need you to pray for this. And we're just being, you know, casual here tonight, you and I. I need you to pray for several things as we do get back to the United States. I need you to pray that God would anoint these times that we are in these churches. All right? I want God to do something. I want God to work upon people's hearts. I want God to call people to the harvest field. Amen? You're not saying amen. All right? Testing one, two. You know, say amen. All right? Please? I want God to do something special, and I want to be able to present to them what God has been doing in Papua New Guinea and what God is doing in Papua New Guinea now. All right? And how they are a special part of all of this. So I need you to pray that God would bless and God would honor that, God would anoint it, and the work that I have with them, the work that my wife will be involved in while she's with these churches as well, and the ministry to the ladies, the ministries to the men, whatever these churches wanting us to do, we want to be able to be a special blessing to them. But also, we are talking to them about maintenance, all right? Now, Papua New Guinea is known for building something, but not doing any maintenance on those buildings. Now, I'm not that way, but it's caught up with me. So there are many of our church buildings, school buildings, other types of buildings that we have built, not just in the Gulf province, but in other provinces as well. They have been built, and the Lord is blessed, but there's maintenance that needs to be done. There's cement floors that need to be put in some of these buildings. There are new roofs that need to go on some of these buildings. Maintenance is going to be very, very heavy when I get back from this trip. So I want you to pray that God would help supply that need. I'm going to present to those churches what we're going to do as we try to maintain things. We also need to get another sawmill in for one of our areas. And just many, many things need to take place. So I'm going to present all of this to our churches that we'll be in for the next 2.5 months. And I want you to pray that God would supply that need. All right? Definitely. I need you to pray that way. And besides that, there's so many other things to pray for. And there's so many other building needs that are within the reach, not only of where we are at, but also in many of the other provinces as well. And thankful that some of your people have been able to travel and go to Papua New Guinea just recently to help one of the missionaries that are there, Brother Caleb Wilson. So I appreciate all that they've done, and I appreciate all that you have done. So pray for this trip. And again, just giving a short little report about why we are here. I'm not usually here, by the way. And for you that are visiting tonight, if any, I'm not usually here. So if you think, you know, something's not right, you're being honest, it's right. I'm not right all the time. Yeah. And if you know me, you know about that, all right? It's just that we have been working and working and working, just my wife and I, both of us, just to get everything ready for us to leave Papua New Guinea for this short period of time. All the way to the airport today, we're still working on things. And sending the messages people need to do the work that needs to be done. And thankful that we were able to get on that plane and shut the telephones off and just sit back and enjoy Qantas Airways and have a nice flight here into Brisbane. And it's a wonderful blessing for my wife and I to be with you here this afternoon, this evening. And I just want to be a blessing to you. And I want you to pray that God would bless this trip coming up. And I want to thank you once again for all that you have done. Romans chapter number 1, there's a verse there that you do know. And I want you to find that in your Bible, the first chapter of the book of Romans. And just a few minutes, I want to encourage you here this evening. And appreciate you fighting the traffic as well to get here, just like we did. Verse number 16 is probably one of the greatest verses that maybe you've memorized young, as a young person, as a child, even as an older adult. Verse number 16 of Romans chapter number 1, the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Once again, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." There's some verses I just recalled in my mind in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Paul says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize," in verse 17 of chapter 1. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Verse 18, the Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." I want to tell you something this evening, and I want you to listen very, very carefully, that there is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ to change the hearts of men. Say amen to that this evening. Testing 1, 2, 3. Your microphone is not on. Mine is, yours not. There is power. There is power. There is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a wonderful gospel. We have a wonderful Savior, amen. We have a wonderful salvation that has been given to us. Oh, is it powerful? Oh, is it wonderful? It can change the hearts of men. I have a lot of preparation going on in Papua New Guinea as we get ready for Papua New Guinea to celebrate 50 years of independence. And that'll take place in the month of September. And to give a gift to Papua New Guinea, I'm giving probably the best gift I can give, besides Robert Timms, the Word. And so we decided that we would do 50 Bible distribution outreaches in 10 different provinces of Papua New Guinea. And so we have people working on this and getting everything together. We are getting whole Bibles in, and we have some there already. And in fact, we've started the Bible distribution outreaches already. And we are trying to get 50,000 Bibles to 50,000 people in Papua New Guinea in 50 different areas that do not have a gospel witness whatsoever. I need you to pray for that. The logistics is a nightmare. All right, so please, please, I need you to pray for that. And I've been working on it. We had many thousands of Bibles already, and then we prayed, and God gave us 37,200 whole English King James Bibles. And they're right now sitting in two containers in California, Long Beach. We're praying God will supply the money to ship those containers in. And we have guys that are doing these 50 outreaches in 10 different provinces in Papua New Guinea. Well, I've told you all that for this reason. Number one, to pray. Number two, I was up in the city of Leh, and I'm trying to organize helicopters to take the Bibles to different areas and locations. I don't know if you've chartered a helicopter lately. I think that'd be a good business to get into, Brother Dave. You know, you can make a lot of money. They took a lot of mine already. Anyway, we're organizing these choppers to fly our Bibles to different locations where there are no roads. There are no, you know, waterways to get these Bibles there. And so I was up in Leh just a few weeks ago, and I'm working on getting all the details together, working with some of the helicopter companies, trying to work with the shipping company, and I needed to go back to Port Moresby. And so I got to the airport. I had a ticket with Air New Guinea. I'm waiting for the flight. There's a plane on the runway. We don't know who's going and what. Nobody knows what's happening. And all of a sudden they said, your flight's been canceled. And I'm thinking, oh, I've got to get back to Port Moresby. Then I've got to drive back into Karamo, where my wife is, where I live and work. And I've got to get there. And then someone taps me on the shoulder. And it was a man that I knew who was a helicopter pilot. And he said, hey, you're John Gray, aren't you? And I said, yeah, I remember you. And I said, you're a pilot with one of the helicopter companies. And he said, yeah, we're getting ready to fly into Port Moresby. And I said, oh, that's great. I'm trying to fly, but my flight's been canceled. And he said, why don't you just jump in the chopper with us? And I said, well, you know, I was going to say the same thing, you know, but normally you just don't jump in a chopper, though I could have used one from the airport a few minutes ago. Anyway, so I said, hey, he said, I got to ask the chief pilot. I'm not flying. He said, I'm just riding as a passenger. So I'll talk to the chief pilot. He's flying the chopper. He came back and said, hey, everything's cool. So I went, got my things, and jumped in the chopper. And we're landed one place to drop off something. Then we're heading into Port Moresby. And you know what? I am looking, you know, a chopper, many of them have lots of glass to look out, you know. And I'm just looking. We all have our headphones on because the thing's noisy is unbelievable how noisy they are. Anyway, we all are listening to what everyone else is saying, you know, eavesdropping or whatever you call it. And I've got the headphones on, and I am looking at some of the most gorgeous scenery in the world. I don't know if most of you have ever been to Papua New Guinea. Maybe you haven't. I'm sure things are beautiful here, many parts of Australia, but I am seeing rainforests that are just, I could not even describe it to show you, to tell you how beautiful it was. I was watching two waterfalls. Now, about 2 weeks from now, I'm going to be preaching at Niagara Falls. All right, but these are smaller waterfalls, all right? And they were beautiful. And you know what I'm doing? I'm talking. You know, I've got my microphone, I've got my headphones on, and everyone else in the chopper is hearing me. I am praising God about His glorious creation. I am talking about the beauty of this earth, how God blanketed everything with His touch, spoke everything into existence. I am seeing some of the most beautiful scenery I've ever seen in my life, and I'm speaking about it right in that little microphone. But I didn't know it was bothering that pilot, the one that introduced me to the free ride down to the capital city. And you know what? We landed, and I was just still rejoicing, but I knew there was something wrong. He wasn't the same. You know, he's this chipper type of person, his personality where, you know, he talks, but he was silent. My car was parked just close by, and I was going to drop him off somewhere. We walked to the car and got in, and friend, it was conviction all over this man. And I called him by name and I said, "What's the trouble?" And he said, "The trouble is those things you were saying in the chopper." I said, "Can I ask you a question?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior?" He said, "No." I said, "That's what's bothering you, isn't it?" He said, "Yes." Oh, I had my Bible there like I do in the car and opened it up and I showed him what a person must do to trust Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Oh, friend, he bowed his head and bowed his heart before the Lord and asked God to save his soul from a devil's hell. I'm telling you something, the gospel still works. No, I'm not mad. I do yell, but I'm not mad. I normally don't throw anything, so you're lucky, all right? What a wonderful salvation. Just a few thoughts. When you think about that wonderful, wonderful salvation, I want you never to forget these things. Number one. When you think about that wonderful salvation, never forget the greatness of our wounded Savior. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord," that's God the Father, "hath laid on him," that's God the Son, "the iniquity of us all." The wounded Savior. You remember when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane? You remember that betrayal kiss is coming nigh? You remember the disciples being with him? You remember them taking Jesus Christ? And you remember them and all that they did to him, how they beat him, how they mocked him, how they scourged him, how they put that crown of thorns upon his head, how they took that cat and nine tails and they whipped him and scourged him with it, how they plucked out his beard, how they marched him up that hill, how he carried that cross, how they took him and they laid him down and they beat those nails into his hands and into his feet. And he shed the very blood of God for you. He took your place on Calvary. He took my place on Calvary. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus. Oh, can you just picture him right now? All that he did for you, all that he did for me, all that he did for your neighbors, your brothers, your sisters, your fathers, your mothers, your aunts, your uncles, your workmates, your schoolmates, those that you see each and every day. He did all of that for them. Never forget. Never forget the greatness of our wounded Savior. Very quickly, never forget, number two, when we're thinking of the wonderful salvation that he has given, never forget, number two, the gifted message of hope. The gifted message of hope. You know, one time I was preaching a funeral service, the top of a mountain in the central province of Papua New Guinea. And I am preaching a funeral service in a Catholic church in the pouring down rain in a place I've never been before, preaching the funeral of a man I never met. Now, if you ever want to get into strange situations, become a missionary. And it's a long story, and I can't tell you all the details. We don't have all that much time tonight. I told Brother and Brother Barnes here I would only preach 3.5 hours, so I don't have really that much time. A helicopter, there are no road. Helicopter took us up there, dropped us in the rain, and we went. They weren't even going to let me in. But the wife of this man that passed away got very angry and upset and took all the leaders of this Catholic church and said, in essence, don't forget whose ground this church building is on, is what she said. And they let me in. And I don't normally go to Catholic churches, by the way. And I didn't know what they're going to do because they were doing part of the funeral service as well. But they didn't know what I was going to do. And so there is a Catholic priest, and he's standing right here on this side. And so I go over there, and I stand on that side. And, you know, the rain's pouring down. It's dark. You can't see anything. There's a casket here that has a man in that I don't even know, but I did know his wife. And I don't know what to do. He doesn't know. The Catholic priest doesn't know what needs to be done. It's like, what are we doing here? I can hear the chopper out here ready to take us away back down to, you know, to the city. And so I'm standing here, and he's standing over there. And so I whisper over to him, why don't you go first? This is your church. And I'll just stand here. And when you do your thing, then I'll go second. I'll do my thing. Well, he did his thing, and again, he did it in a language I didn't understand, so it's fine. I just stood there and looked pretty. And anyway, I'm good at that. Anyway, after it was done, he looked at me and nodded like, it's my time. Well, what do you think you're going to do with a church filled with Catholic people? I preached. Friend, what else am I going to do? I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And by the way, if there's anyone here this evening and you've got a doubt about what Christ has done, or you have a doubt about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, if you're here lost and you've never been saved, oh, I'll tell you what, this day, the 7th of whatever month this might be, May, I guess, it would be a wonderful time to be saved. Anyway, I stood right there, and I gave the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know if they understood me. I don't know if they got anything out of it or not, but I preached the gospel, and when I got done, then I told him, I'm finished with my part. And then he said something, and everybody came by. And, you know, again, it's a funeral, so there was a sad time, and the family was there. And one by one, everybody went out. And I'm still standing here. He's still standing, the Catholic priest over there. And when everybody is out, everybody is gone. You know, his little formality and the way he was acting, finished. And he walked over to me. You think you could tell me how that goes again? Do you think you could run it by me, you know, one more time? Do you think once again you could, what you told everybody, you could tell me again? And I sat down right there with a Catholic priest in a Catholic church in the middle of nowhere with helicopter. I could hear the rotors running. And I led that Catholic priest to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you something. He received a hope that the Catholic Church could not give him, religion could not give him, his people could not give him, whatever he had no hope at all, but the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ gave hope to a Catholic priest. Never forget that gifted message of hope. Oh, I remember when it came to a 12-year-old boy by the name of John Gray. I was bad. I was fighting all the time. I was involved in some criminal activities. Yes. This sweet one that's talking to you this evening. Yeah, I was a bad one at 12 years of age. And I was invited to a meeting. And Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, I heard a preacher preach on hell 5 nights in a row. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I thought whatever's in the Bible, it's all hell, hell, hell. That's all that's in that book. There's nothing else to preach. I didn't know. I didn't know anything about the Bible. But all I know is that the Spirit of God got a hold of me and shook me up that evening and said, John Gray, you are lost on your way to a devil's hell. You need to be saved. You know where I was? I was sitting way in the back, like some of you are. I was sitting way in the back. And when they gave that invitation, oh, like the jet I just got off of a few minutes ago, I came down to that altar. I ran down to that altar, and an old-fashioned preacher took an old-fashioned Bible, amen, and showed this sinner how he can have hope in Jesus Christ. Can you remember that day? Can you remember that day that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? If not, you need to remember this night. The night that God is bothering you about you being lost. Never forget. I'm about done. I have lots of things to say, but we're not gonna look at it all. Never forget when we look at that wonderful salvation that we're not ashamed of. Never forget the greatness of a wounded Savior. Never forget the gifted message of hope. Never forget the granted opportunities presented. I just told you about the funeral service where a Catholic priest trusted Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. I got to Papua New Guinea back, 100 years ago, it seemed like, but it was just about 40. And I got there and I was working in a small church. And I was trying to start a Bible Institute there in the capital city and trying to get my feet wet when it comes to mission work in Papua New Guinea. And I'm working on things. And my late father-in-law, who's passed away, who's preached in this church, by the way, Dr. Don Green, he came over to preach in that small little church. And I said, all right, we're going to have a campaign, see who can bring the most visitors. And whoever can bring the most visitors, we've got this special prize that we're going to give you. And there was one man in that church who told me, I'm going to win that prize. I'm going to win that prize. I'm going to win that prize. And so we had a Friday night service. We had a Saturday night service. And now we have a Sunday morning service. But you know what? He wasn't bringing any visitors. So how was he going to win that prize? So far, he brought nil. He didn't bring any visitors at all. But he told me every evening, I'm going to get that prize. I'm going to get that prize. I'm going to get that prize. Well, this guy worked for the city of Port Moresby, and he had a small tipper truck that he drove. Tipper truck, dump truck, whatever truck you call it here. Anyway, we call it tipper trucks there. And he had a small little tipper truck, you know, that kind of thing. And he, I think you know what I'm talking about. At least some of you are smiling now. You know, that's good. Thought I was in the wrong church. Hey, am I in the right church? Oh, okay. Anyway, Sunday morning, it's about to start. Sunday school's about to start. Everything's getting geared up for Sunday. And some, you know, a lady has brought in 10 or 15 visitors. And maybe some of the young people have brought in 8 or 9 or 10 visitors. And all of a sudden, the tipper truck pulls in with 63 people in the back of a tipper truck. I mean, it wasn't wall-to-wall carpeting tipper truck. You know, it was, you know what, nice cushion seats. And No. It was a tipper truck that, you know, does the bad. Yeah, it was dirty. It was filthy. It was rusted. It was small. But it had 63 visitors inside. Oh, he took advantage, didn't he? Guess who won the prize? And 22 souls out of those 63 trusted Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Hey, can you just think about the opportunities that God has given to you? Oh, you're sitting there at the dentist office. The reason I mentioned dentist office is that this one right here hurts. And in fact, there's one over here that hurts. Yeah, thing about, you know, I'm not afraid of anything except a dentist. You know, if someone came in here with a shotgun and pointed, I wouldn't be afraid. And that may be a bad thing. I'm just not afraid of things like that. But I'll tell you what, if you say it's time to go to the dentist, man, like a rabbit, I'm gone. You're sitting at the dentist office. Someone's sitting there right next to you. They're in pain like you are, sister. How much would it take just to reach over, give them a gospel tract? They're printed by the tens of thousands very close to where we're standing, probably. Think of the opportunities. You are at an even a place of recreation, and you're sitting down, and the kids are playing, and you're resting, and there's someone who comes, another lady comes and sits down beside you, and you know she's chatting away about this and that. How hard is it to insert God's love into that conversation? Do you know, opportunities come and opportunities fly, and we miss them. We miss them. Maybe you ought to pray this evening that God would give one of those grand opportunities to where you can present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never forget. Oh, never forget. I'll be done here in just a minute. Never forget the greatness of a wounded Savior. Never forget the gifted message of hope. Never forget the granted opportunities presented. But please never forget, and we'll stop with this one, the glorious power of transformation. If any man be in Christ, I love that verse. He's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Transformed. totally changed. You know, one of the men that has started probably more independent Baptist churches in my area and to the west of where I live was a very bad man who had a very bad past, who was involved in all types of sorceries and black and dark magics, things that I could not even tell a mixed audience, involved in wickedness, total wickedness, and worship of the devil. And one day, that man heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it convicted him so bad that he tried to run away. He got in a dinghy and with a motor and with other passengers, and he went about 3 hours or so out to sea and down the coast, and was under such conviction that he had the skipper of that small craft turn around and come all the way back to where he knew he could find help. He came, and my friend, he got gloriously saved. That darkness fled away. The light of Jesus Christ came inside. His life was transformed with the gospel. Yes, it was. God called him to preach. Went to Bible school? Yeah, we're talking about the same person. Yes. After Bible school, he started a church, and then later started another church, and then later started another church. And I used to teach in a Bible institute in the Gulf province. And when my time of teaching really ended, I took that Bible Institute and put it in this man's hands. And he's been able to train more young and old preachers, so many more than I could ever trained, in areas that are, it's the bush. I mean, you don't even know they exist. I mean, we have a national election and they don't even vote because they don't even know they're there. He has trained men, and they have gone out and they have started other churches. And then one of them took the Bible Institute and transplanted it to another province. And now he's teaching, and this pastor is teaching. And now they want to take it to another place so that they can train more and more. That's transformation. Completely changed. Now, you think inside your head right now, who is it that you know who needs the gospel of Jesus Christ? Who is it that you know right now that needs to be transformed? Changed. Saved, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't hold God back with your lack of faith. Don't hold God back with your lack of praying. Don't hold God's power to one place because you won't present the gospel to this person. Right now, it might be a father or a mother, some relative of yours that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ, but you have never taken it to them. Oh, I've heard every excuse. Oh, they're too hard-hearted. Oh, they've gone beyond some you know, deadline and limit, and there's no way they can ever be saved. Oh, they won't listen to me because I'm a relative. Or they won't listen to me because I'm too young. Or they won't listen to me because I'm too old. Or they won't listen to me because I'm a Baptist. Or they won't listen to me because I drink Robert Tim's coffee. You know, one excuse is just as good as the other. Oh, friend, I've seen God change people's lives. I've seen God change families and tie those families back together again. We've seen men saved and ladies saved and young people saved. What about you? God putting somebody up here right now, someone at work, someone at school, a neighbor, a relative, a friend. Friend, there's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Transformation can take place. Took place in my life. And for the last 39 years, hard to believe, but for the last 39 years, I have dedicated my life just to help some others in that place that I live in. And I know that if God changed me, God can change them. Never forget. Never forget about that wonderful salvation and that wonderful gospel that He's given to us. Amen. Let's pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father, we thank you and we love you for all that you have done. What a blessing it is to be here this evening. I pray that you would honor the faithfulness of your people. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them. Lord, maybe you've even put someone upon their hearts this evening. I'm asking, Lord, that you would give them an opportunity, maybe even this week, to present the gospel to them. Thank you for the power. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for Calvary. Remind us once again what you've done for us. Strengthen our folks here. Encourage them in the Lord. Meet their needs. And Lord, once again, how grateful I am for the friendship of so many years with the good people of Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Bless our evening with your safety. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.